We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right, let me go to the third rail subject. Do you think Nagy's the guy? Dick Butkus? What do you think?
I expected more, let me say this. I expected more. You know, people ask me, oh, you think they're going to fire him? And the McCaskies will not fire anybody during the year. If anything happens, him or Pace, I mean, in Chicago, they're all, it's, you know, they want to lynch him, but I'm just disappointed in everything the Bears are doing. I mean, I get so frustrated watching them. I don't know. It's just, they got to start from ground zero, but they already have ground zero with Fields. Now let's get somebody around him and in front of him to save his life.
Oh, man. Dick Butkus is not happy, and that is not a good thing up at Halas Hall. Hi, everyone. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment is brought to you by PointsBet. Dick Butkus, a guest on the Rich Eisen Show, giving his take on Matt Nagy. It's nice to see that he thinks the way most of us think, that the Bears have something special brewing with their first-round pick, quarterback Justin Fields, who looked really good in the loss to Pittsburgh. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we have a special treat for the entire 1 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by Brad Biggs, who covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, for the entire hour. And he's not just going to take questions from me, but he's going to take questions from you at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And without further ado, Brad Biggs joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Brad, you heard from Butkus, and when he's talking about Matt Nagy, that's really something.
Yeah, well, Dick's like a lot of former Bears players. They stay connected, at least in terms of watching what's happening on a week-by-week basis. They've got an understanding of how the league works, of what quarterback play in the league looks like, what offensive line play in the league looks like, what defense looks like. So I'm not surprised by his reaction. It's disappointing that they weren't able to close that game out Monday night in Pittsburgh, but I'll tell you, you know, in the big picture, and I don't believe in moral victories or any of that, because the Bears are behind in the standings on those as well. But in the big picture, a really encouraging second half from Justin Fields. You know, this wasn't a situation where he went out and piled up some yardage in garbage time, okay? The game was still close enough, competitive enough that the Steelers weren't in some deep prevent and just letting them move up and down the field as long as they took some time off the clock. That wasn't the case at all. So considering the situation and how he performed, a big positive for them had taking them into this bye week. Now the question is, can you build off it? What can you do from here on with 8 regular season games remaining?
Brad, let's look at this from a reporter's standpoint and not the way you hear most people talk about it around town, which is you're looking at it from either a fan standpoint, a fan's perspective, and even I'm talking about the former players who look at it from a fan's perspective with the knowledge that they have of the NFL. Why do you think that it has been such a difficult task for this coaching staff to apply the kinds of things that would help Justin Fields adapt to the NFL game faster?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think it's probably layered. Some people out there will probably yell and kick and scream that he should have been getting the one reps from the jump at the start of training camp and preseason. I don't know that things would look dramatically different right now than they do. Might look a little bit better, but you know that's the people who yell and kick and scream with that are overlooking the fact that he was running the same playbook with the twos. So you're talking about some very minor detailed stuff with some of these guys that shouldn't take them that long to get on the same page. He has been in the starting position for almost 2 months now. So that's part of it. You know, they've been certainly limited, I think, with some of the stuff they can do in terms of pass protection against the defensive fronts that are more powerful and stronger. That remains an issue. Their skill position talent has been vastly overrated by the people at Hollis Hall. Okay. He's not, he doesn't have the best targets in the league, top to bottom, to work with. Look at the production, or basically complete lack of production, they're getting from that number 3 wide receiver position. And it's stunning. Now, Marquise Goodwin had a 50-yard reception against the Steelers. And he had a catch over the middle, one catch over the middle the week before against the San Francisco 49ers. That's almost it for production from that third wide receiver position this season, and they're 9 games in. So I think that's a part of it too. I think they had to adjust what they were doing play calling wise a little bit. You know, you wonder how much of the offense that they've been working with that, you know, did they go to Columbus and meet with Ryan Day and his staff and say, hey, you know, what really worked for Justin here and why, and how much of that can be applied or highlighted or emphasized in the offense? You know, when the Carolina Panthers used the first overall pick on Cam Newton, I know that Ron Rivera sent his offensive staff to Auburn to meet with the coaches. They got on a plane and they went to Auburn and they met with them and, you know, okay, how did you guys use them? What was the thought process and that kind of stuff? And I think it kind of helped them build what they were doing around a young Cam Newton back in the day. So there's maybe an element of that to it as well, but we saw him really threaten the 49ers with his legs in that game at Soldier Field. And then the passing game, I mean, he was sharp on downfield throws. There weren't a lot of short throws by Justin in that game. So when you see the timing coming together with a variety of targets, it wasn't like it was one guy doing all the work. And when you see the accuracy on some of those downfield throws, I mean, to me, that's the thing where you look at it and you say, okay, they could have something going here. Because I think a key point to make here for people is that when you talk about rookie quarterbacks or really young quarterbacks in the league, the guys that eventually pan out, you see flashes of it right away, okay? It might not be consistent. It might not be week to week. But there are plenty of flashes where you're watching it and you're saying, okay, this is giving me an idea of what this could look like. And in the passing game prior to going to Pittsburgh, I don't know that we saw a lot about that. There were two nice throws against San Francisco, both moving to his left. That was just two throws. There were a few throws here and there in the previous games, but I would say we hadn't seen flashes in the passing game. And so you're watching it, and you're probably a little bit concerned about that, but he flashed left and right. I mean, it was popping all over the place against Pittsburgh. And if you need a, you know, well, is this a legit thing to track or not? Did Mitch Trubisky flash at all as a rookie? Did he flash in year two? And I think you go back, you know, you got to discount that game against the Buccaneers. That's one of the worst defenses there's been in the last, you know, 10 years when Mitch went wild that day at Soldier Field with whatever it was, six touchdown passes. But he never flashed. He didn't pan out. But I think we saw Justin Fields flash against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Boy, that's a great point. You know, you look around the NFL today, and I don't care who you think is the best quarterback in the league, but all of them, almost immediately, you saw the signs of greatness,
yep.
Whether it was Aaron Rodgers, as soon as they got an opportunity to play. And for each player, it's a little different. You know, it took Rodgers 3 years to get on the field, but when we saw him, you saw what he could do. Tom Brady, it took a year plus for him to get on the field, but when he did, he was a factor. Russell Wilson, it took a training camp, and all of a sudden, bam, he was the guy. Justin Herbert didn't expect to play last year.
Perfect
it took
example.
A freak. Yeah.
Perfect example of Herbert. You saw a ton of it with the Chargers last year, and that's what made that opening. You know, when they fired Anthony Lynn, you looked at that and you said, my goodness, I mean, they've got some roster issues here. They need a left tackle. The defense needs some work. But my goodness, how often does a coaching vacancy open where there's a young quarterback that you look at and you say, this guy's on his way to being the real deal? And that's what made that Chargers opening such an appealing job last year. So we'll have to see how Justin performs the rest of the way and what happens here with the Bears. But I think it's probably given people some hope coming out of Monday night. And it's going to make the final half of the season. I mean, it could potentially be must-watch TV for Bears fans every week, you know. And we've seen too many seasons in the last decade where you get to mid-late November, and it's just like, you got people out there that are looking for something else to do on Sunday afternoon because the season has been dreadful. This guy has pumped some excitement into that locker room, into the building, and I think the fan base.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence. We're talking with the Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs, and he's with us for the entire hour taking your phone calls, and let's start the festivities. We go out to the phones at 312-644-6767 and say good afternoon to Rich from Oak Forest. Hi, Rich. You're on the score with Brad Biggs.
How you doing, Brad?
Good.
I have two thoughts. First thought is, at the end of the Pittsburgh game, Nagy should have saved the timeout, I thought, so when they got the ball back, instead of freezing the kicker. What
yeah,
do you think about
right
that?
Yeah, stop right there, Rich. Yeah, well, and I've gotten a zillion emails on that. What happened there is it was a running clock, okay? The officials stopped the clock for a measurement, okay? So they stopped the clock. They bring the chains out, they measured. And in that situation, when the ball's respotted, when they get the chains back to the sideline, and then they start the play clock, because it was a running clock when they blew the whistle there, the game clock also starts. So if Nagy does not call his timeout right there, Rich, The Steelers can just they can run 24 seconds off the clock before they snap the ball. So that was a total non-option for Nagy. Absolutely had to use his time out there.
Okay. And one other thing, with Fields, he was like one of the top sacked quarterbacks in college for 2 years. Now he comes to the Bears, and they got a lot of young blockers. It's very hard. I never played football, but isn't it very hard to block when you have a running back that can scramble like he can? You have to get used to him, correct?
I think that, yeah, I mean, that can make it more difficult for the offensive lineman when the quarterback, because he's got mobility and escapability, is going to hold on to the ball longer with the idea in mind that, you know, if one's covered and two's covered, and he's going to go backside to three, and then he might, you know, pull the ball down and do something. Yeah, it puts pressure on those guys to probably hold their blocks a little bit longer. I think as he develops, as he grows in the offense and has a little more maturity and gets more comfortable operating in the pocket, I think you'll see that probably being a little bit less of an issue. But that's going to take time, and that's going to take experience. It's not going to happen next week. It's not going to happen before the Seattle game on December 26th. I mean, that's something that you're looking at for him to get better at going into year two, year three, that type of thing.
Rich, thank you so much for the call. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. A quick break here, but when we come back, Brad Biggs with us for the entire hour, taking your calls on the Bears. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence this afternoon until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've got a treat. Brad Biggs is with us for the entire 1 o'clock hour, taking your phone calls on anything you want to know about the Bears. 312-644-6767 is the number. Brad, back out to the phones we go. Let's say hi to Scott from Fairmount. Scott, you are on The Score.
Hey, it's an honor to talk to you guys, Zach and Brad. Longtime listener. So my question, I guess, is you talked about the third receiver, also the tight ends, getting the tight ends more involved into the offense. Maybe we're starting to see a little bit more of that. But I guess, you know, and also how can you justify keeping Jimmy Graham this year with all the holes on this team? I just don't, you know, quite understand that one. But is there a plan to try to get the tight ends more involved? And I have a favor to ask of you guys.
Well, clearly, they're getting a tight end more involved. You know, you look at Cole Kmet, he had, what was it, like 86, 87 yards receiving the other night. That's a career high. He hit a previous career high within the past month. I can't remember which game it was off the top of my head. But now, granted, that thing was a low bar to clear to start with. It was like less than 45, 46 yards. From a year ago. So he's getting the ball more. Jimmy Graham, that was a really nice play down the seam for 28 yards against Pittsburgh. They isolated him on the backside of that 4x1 formation and threw a fade to him in the end zone that the Steelers defended pretty well, but they were looking for him in the red zone. And yeah, I mean, I questioned it all off season if bringing back Graham at the price tag for the final year of the $16 million 2 year contract made sense. And the Bears were steadfast that it absolutely made sense to them. He did lead him in touchdown receptions a year ago, 8 of them. He picked up another one in the playoff game against the Saints at the end of the year. So 9 touchdown receptions for an offense that struggled scoring. Now, Jimmy's missed some time this season. Certainly, that's probably played a factor in all of this, but I certainly believe they're going to try to get him a little bit more involved, and we have seen more of of Cole Kmet. We saw Jesse James against the 49ers. So I think that's it, – the whole passing game is kind of developing. It's been so muted, really. They've run the ball well, but they've struggled to sustain drives when you go back to games previously in the season. So now that they're starting to be able to mount some drives, they're starting to be able to put some points on the scoreboard, you would think it would all expand a little bit. And those guys aren't the only ones that aren't getting the football. I mean, look at Allen Robinson. My goodness, lack of utilization of him, especially before the Pittsburgh game, was criminal. They took a guy that they decided to pay $1 million a week to this year, and he was a complete non-factor in the offense. Hopefully, this minor injury that he sustained late in the game won't be anything that'll hamper him starting the second half of the season.
Does that fall on Nagy, or who was responsible for that?
I mean,
as far as that goes,
that's everybody. I mean, it's coaches, it's position coaches, it's players, it's play calling. I mean, if there was an easy fix to some of this stuff, it would have been done. You know, it's offensive line play. You know, this I'm sure you can go find plenty of instances where Allen Robinson was winning his route, but the time wasn't there for the quarterback to throw the ball. So it's across the board. You know, I tell people all the time, if there was an easy fix, if it was just, hey, the left tackle's a turnstile, they've got to get this fixed, and that's all they had to do, that could be accomplished relatively easily in the offseason, right? You got one thing, but you've just had, you know, a litany of issues, and hopefully the explosion they had in the second half against Pittsburgh will carry over into the Baltimore game a week from now.
There is breaking Bulls news. Woj is reporting that Vooch has entered the league's health and safety protocols. Again, Woj reporting that Vooch has entered the league's health and safety protocols. The Bulls in Golden State tomorrow night, a game that you can hear right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock. Brad Biggs is with us for the entire 1 o'clock hour, taking your phone calls on all things Bears. 312-644-6767. It's always fun to get Brad's thoughts when he's got a little bit of elbow room to explain everything that's on his mind. Felix from the South Side, you are on the Score with the Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs.
Thanks a lot. Brad, first of all, I enjoy your columns in the Tribune. That's number one. I look forward to them, actually. But my questions are, I have a few. One, since the third and fourth receivers are so unproductive, what's the possibility of bringing in Daz Newsome just to see what he can do? They were very high on him in the beginning. They did nothing but talk him up, and we've heard nothing of him since then. My other question is, when and if Tariq Cohen ever comes back, the Swiss Army knife, what's the possibility of turning him into a slot receiver as opposed to running back or whatever they try to do with him?
Newsome was a guy who he had the broken collarbone back in the spring, and so that delayed him at the start of training camp, and then you didn't see a lot from him in training camp. He's on the practice squad. He's out there practicing every week. I think if he clearly looked like a guy who could give them a little something, they probably would have given him a shot by now. Could he get that opportunity before the end of the season? I suppose that's possible, but to me, the ceiling for him is probably going to be an edge of the roster type of player. With Tariq Cohen, I don't think you're looking to change his position necessarily. If and when he comes back, and I'd be a little bit surprised if he's back this season at this point. The slot receiver, some of those guys are undersized, but he'd be on the, a small undersized side of slot receivers, right? He's just such a small target out there. But you could utilize him as a running back, running him, try to avoid putting them between the tackles too often. You got to do it from time to time to keep defenses honest, but finding creative ways to get him the ball in space And then where you really need a guy like that, if he can get back to his former ways, is as the punt returner, because he was the best in the league when he was healthy. He's a guy that was basically giving you a first down on every punt return that wasn't a fair catch. He's averaging 10 yards a punt return. That's a first down right there. And when you can get a first down from your punt returner, that's a big help for the offense.
Boy, that's a great point. Tim in Wilmette, you are on the Score talking Bears with Brad Biggs.
Hey, Brad, how are you? Thanks so much for taking my call. Two things. One, it's like a tale of two Bears. That first series or the second series where they had to call a timeout because they had the formation wrong, and then they still get a legal motion when they come out of the timeout. Is that like a – first question, is that like a coaching or who's that on? And then the second question is, we've been always talking about how the Bears, they just still score enough touchdowns, they got to kick too many field goals. I don't think anyone's talking about the fact that how awesome it was that they had to score touchdowns in that fourth quarter, and they actually executed and got those touchdowns. Those are three touchdowns. That's huge. They're averaging, 16 points a game, and they put 21 up.
Yeah, well, I went and looked it up. There's very few instances of them scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter over the last 20 years. I looked it up. I can't remember. It was the middle of the night Monday, and I didn't have any sleep. But I want to say you can do that on one hand. It might be six over the last 20 years or so, but I don't think so. Yeah, that was great to see where they ended up really hurting themselves, was having to kick two short field goals. And then they had the third possession, you recall, where they got to the 25-yard line and immediately started going backward and ended up punting at the end of that possession. So those are three possessions where they left a lot of points on the field. I mean, bare minimum there, they left, 11 points on the field. You trade the two field goals for a pair of touchdowns, and you come away with that the drive where you got to the Pittsburgh 25. You get a three-pointer there. That's 11 points that they left on the field in that game. So to the penalty that came out of the timeout because of the illegal formation, people want to say coaching. Yeah, it's coaching, but it's players too, okay? Like, they're being told the play in the huddle. They know what the play is. They know what the formation is. They know what the pre-snap execution of the play is. It's real easy to point at Nagy or Lazor or the wide receivers coach or the running backs coach, whoever's involved here with his player screwing up, and saying, how does he not have his player trained here? But I think you got to hold professional football players accountable as well. And that's frustrating because they've just had, it seems like this season, not in every game, but close to every game, you see some situation where they burn a timeout because they've got wires crossed somehow, which people have to understand that that's going to happen more than usual when you've got a rookie quarterback, right? That you're going to have some level of confusion. But then to have these situations where they stub their toe after the timeout, that's where it's really frustrating. You use the timeout, you throw an incomplete pass, that's one thing. You use the timeout, you get a 5-yard penalty, and then something poor happens, and you're looking at it and you're saying, what the heck? So I wouldn't just throw that on the coaches. I think the players have got to wear a good deal of the responsibility for that stuff on their shoulders as well.
Yeah, it's tough enough to do it right when everything is right, when you're not taking care of your responsibility. And you go back to Bill Belichick. What's his famous saying? Do your job. And when guys aren't doing their jobs, from that standpoint, man, it's frustrating. Back out to the phones, John from Buffalo Grove. You're talking Bears with Brad Biggs on the Score. Hi, John.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I know we have a lot of football left to play, but I was curious, looking ahead to the 2022 season, if this season does continue to trend south. Two coaching candidates. I have this sneaky, ugly suspicion that Doug Peterson might be the next head coach, just simply because it would almost be a soft reboot for Justin Fields' development. And what are your thoughts on an old Chicago Bears special teams coach named Dave Tobe as a coaching candidate? I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the Doug Peterson thing's kind of interesting, but would they, if they felt like they bombed with a guy from the Andy Reid tree, would they want to go to another guy from the Andy Reid tree? No, obviously, Doug Peterson went to Philadelphia and won a Super Bowl ring on his own. Be curious to see if he wants to jump back in. You know, I don't if he wants to jump back in, he'll be an intriguing candidate for teams that would be looking for an offensive-minded head coach. I don't think there's any question about that. But with Dave Tobe, you know, I thought he would get a few more looks several years ago than he has. And, you know, he got a couple interviews. He interviewed with the Chargers. He interviewed with the Denver Broncos. I want to say when Vance Joseph was given the job in Denver. And, you know, it's kind of cooled down for him, you know, and with guys who get hot in these coaching hiring cycles, they kind of have to strike when they're hot, because once their name kind of is no longer hot, I think it becomes a lot more difficult for them to get traction in terms of consideration for a job. You know, look at a guy like the Bears quarterbacks coach, John DeFilippo. You know, I mean, he was getting head coaching interviews right after the Eagles had gone to the Super Bowl there, right? And then that thing kind of, fizzled, and he's going to have to wait until his name gets hot again to maybe get some opportunities. So I don't know if Tobe will get back in the mix for consideration, but I do think if given the opportunity, Dave Tobe would do a good job. Would certainly be a guy who would be super organized, super prepared. He's done a remarkable job on special teams for nearly 20 years in the NFL. It would probably have to be a good situation for Dave, because he's been an Andy Reid guy since going back to the 1980s at the college level. I know the Chiefs compensate him very well for the work he does in Kansas City, but that's an interesting question, and I know a name that would probably interest a lot of Bears fans.
You know, the thing that I find interesting is that there's an assumption that Matt Nagy is gone at the end of this year, and yeah, there's still a whole chunk of season left following the bye, and if you continue to see these signs of growth from Justin Fields, where it starts to click, I don't necessarily know that you make a change. It's going to involve a change in philosophy and tweaking the offense by Matt Nagy, which for whatever reason he has not shown an inclination to do, but that's what it's going to take, I think, to get the most out of Justin Fields, because there's so much ability there. And, you know, when you look at his mentor, Andy Reid, think about, Brad, all the quarterbacks he's had success with, you know, whether it's Donovan McNabb, whether it was Michael Vick, whether it was Alex Smith, now Patrick Mahomes, these are not the same guys. And yet he found a way to tweak the offense to make sure each guy was able to elevate the rest of the team.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the secret sauce for Andy Reid for such a long time, right? That he's had very few seasons where he looked at it and said, my goodness, they're going nowhere. You know, because he was able to adapt and adjust, and as you said, play to the strength of his personnel, understand what they do well, try to maximize that, and try to minimize some of their weaknesses or things they're not quite as strong at.
Back out to the phones we go. Brad Biggs taking your calls on the Bears here on The Score. Rolling Meadows, Roger, you're on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Hey, how you guys doing? My thing with this, I have a comment first, is that it seems like they're constantly starting from ground zero every single year under Nagy. I don't understand why. Maybe you can help me with that. But the big thing that infuriates is in the fourth quarter, when these guys, the defense is what we've had and the only thing we can hang our hat on. But here they are lining up off sides. What are they doing? Lining up off sides. All they have to do is look at the ball. Hey, What are you doing? Can you help me out? Why these guys are so excited and they can't see the damn ball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've seen a game with that many offsides calls in a while. And really, you don't even have to look at the ball. You can just turn and look the other way at the official, and they'll tell you if you're offsides or not. You kind of, you know, hold your arm up, hey, am I all right? And they'll motion to you if you're not okay. So that was, hard to figure. I think they probably had bigger issues defensively than a couple offsides penalties in that game. But I don't feel like they've started from ground zero every year. Obviously, you're at ground zero year one for Nagy. Year two, remember, it was they were coming off 12-4. Expectations were absolutely sky high. It was a 100-year celebration of the Bears. That wasn't like they were starting at ground zero. Now, they came out and they played poorly, but that wasn't like they were rebooting it. Remember, that was the whole, like, Mitch was going to go to the 201 level course of the offense, and that just didn't work out. Last year felt like a little bit of a reboot with them bringing in Foles and then moving to him right away. This year, they had to reboot it, right? You needed to go out and get a quarterback. So I think there's probably things that I would have a bigger bone to pick with that they've done from a decision standpoint over the last 4 years than that.
Brad, we could go on all day long. This has been so much fun, but we got to take a break here. Thank you so much for lending your time and talking Bears with us here on The Score. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Zach. Have a great day.
You too. Hopefully we can do it again real soon. Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune. No one covers the Bears like Brad. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and look ahead to transition. Zach Zaidman on The Score, in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence today. Man, it's been a pleasure talking Bulls and Bears with you all throughout the afternoon. A special thank you to the executive producer, Herb Lawrence, for helping construct the show and also helping me blast through the speakers of your radio. Parkins and Spiegel are next. We'll have transition with them in mere moments. But I do want to reflect on some of the Bears conversation that we had with Brad Biggs and Jared Payton earlier today. I think there's this notion that you have to get rid of this coach. And that may very well be the case if you don't see the kind of improvement you'd like to see from an offensive standpoint following the bye till the end of the season. But it would benefit everybody at Hallis Hall if the coach was able to tweak things to fit this quarterback so that this quarterback with his elite level skills could elevate and then help elevate the team with him. Because then you don't have to start over. I mean, yeah, sometimes we see situations where young quarterbacks after year one have a new coach in year two adapt and shine. But more often than not, that doesn't happen. You know, yes, it happened with Jared Goff when Jeff Fisher was let go and Sean McVay took over in Los Angeles. You know, is it happening with Justin Herbert this year after the coaching staff last year was let go and now you've got Brandon Staley and company in charge of the Chargers? I don't know. I just know that it would help everybody if you didn't have to learn something completely new next year. However, if you don't see the growth that you need to see coming out of the bye, then you have to say goodbye. Then it's an easy decision to make. I think the much more difficult decision to make is knowing the people that you know in charge at Hallis Hall. Can they make the right decision in properly identifying who that next head coach is to help this young man grow? Because unlike last year in January, where you had the collaboration press conference and the talk was that everything's in place except for the quarterback and wins, I would say the only thing that you know is definitely in place right now is the quarterback. It's everything else that's up in the air. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, transition with Parkins and Spiegel. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.